It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 1.
And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth.
Okay, now hear the story. Jesus Christ coming to synagogue. So I don't know about this man purposely, or this man came willingly. But from these verses we know, they found out the man with the withered hand, and they wanted to find out if Jesus Christ can heal this man. And if Jesus heals this man on Sabbath day, then they will find some excuse. They can accuse him healing the man on Sabbath day. Now Jesus knows everything, their thoughts, and where this withered hand man sitting. Everything he knew. So when these people are thinking, let's see if Jesus Christ can heal this man. Jesus Christ said to this man, stand forth. That means he says, come further or come front. Now, maybe he was sitting in the middle or in the back, but he wanted this withered hand man wherever Jesus Christ was. So as soon as Jesus called him, he came and he stood there. Withered hand man knew in his spirit that Jesus Christ wants to heal me. Otherwise, he won't be coming. He came forth. Jesus did not touch him, didn't do anything yet. Then Jesus knew these people were thinking that we are going to accuse him as soon as he heals this man. So what Jesus said? Let's read the verse 4.
And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace.
Now, before they could say anything, Jesus Christ asked them a question. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil? Now, they could not say, it is not good to do good, or they could not say it is good to do evil. They don't know what to say. Then he asked another thing. He says, to save a life or to kill. But they did not say a word because they were thinking we are going to find some fault in him. But before they could say anything, he shut their mouth so they could not say anything. They just kept quiet. Let's see verse 5.
And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other.
Now here we see the situation. I believe those people are Pharisees sitting there. They are frustrated. They are angry themselves. So Jesus Christ, he grieved in his spirit. He became frustrated and angry. But here he says, Jesus looked at them with anger and grieved in his spirit because of their hardness of heart. So they found out Jesus is not happy what we are thinking. And Jesus used the authority and power. He did not say to this man, could you please come forth so I can touch you or heal you? He didn't say anything like that. He just said, come forth or come forward. And the man came. And now, same way he is using the power and authority in his word. He did not say to this man, could you kindly, please, gently, stretch your hand towards me. Didn't say like that. He says to this man, stretch forth thine hand. And immediately, as soon as Jesus Christ said, this man took the order, and somehow some energy came to his hand, and he stretched his hand, and as soon as he stretched his hand, the word of God says, the hand was completely healed, just like other hand. So when you say, stretch forth his hand, that man has no time to think that his hand is going to work or not work. And so he's going to stretch his hand right away and is going to be healed. So the faith and word of God goes hand in hand. He has to put his faith in action right away. Otherwise, he's not going to be healed. One time, and one man's leg was like a completely dried up like this man's hand. And this man was not able to bend his leg. So I stood there and I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I said, in the name of Jesus, sit down. So he didn't sit. He said, if I sit down, my leg is going to break. I said, sit down in the name of Jesus. And he sat. And he got up. And he started walking. And so I learned something. If you try to say just like you are in rehab, do a little bit today and a little bit tomorrow, and gradually your faith grows. Jesus Christ used his authority and power, said to this man, stretch forth your hand right now. And he did. And his hand was completely healed, just like other hand. Means now the identical hands, completely same power, same strength, and completely healed. And all of these people sitting there, they saw it. They saw these things. Instead of getting happy and joyful, Jesus Christ first said, is it good to do good on Sabbath day or evil? Now, good thing happened. Is it save somebody's life or kill somebody? Jesus didn't kill this man, but he saved his hand. So he did something good. And see what happened.
And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him.
Now, the hand got healed. The man is happy. Other crowd might be happy, but the Pharisees are not happy. They left right away. And where they're going? They are going to the king's advisors, or the king's people who are working very close with the king. And they are saying, you know what? I don't know what they said, but I'm just guessing. You know what? There is a man named Jesus. He's crazy, acting crazy. I want you to arrest him, put him in a psychiatric hospital, or kill him. Because this man is breaking our Sabbath and giving the wrong teaching. Whatever they said. But this is what they did. They took some advice, and what he says, they want to do, destroy him. Just kill him. Let's read the verse 7.
But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea.
Now, here we see, last time we heard, Jesus Christ disappeared among the people secretly and they could not find. Now this time, Jesus is not alone. Now he and his disciples, getting out of all this synagogue and the hundreds of people sitting, how they can escape. So you can see somehow, so see how God protects his people out of all this crowd. They could have get hold of Peter or somebody. They could not get hold of anybody, and everybody was completely safely out of the synagogue. And now Jesus is saying, let's go to the seashore. So there we go, and the people crowd us, then we will do something. So he already said to one of his disciples, keep the small boat ready. If the people start crowding, they start pushing me or crushing me. So he would be sitting in the boat. So they will not come close to him. Let's read verse 8 and onwards.
And from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him.
Now can you imagine? He said Judea, Jerusalem, Jordan, and Tyre, Sidon, and some other cities' names are given. So you can see, so all over the country, people came to see him. So you have to see just like a big, big convention. And so the many people are coming and crowding him. And why they coming? Because they said they saw and they heard all kinds of miracles, and people are getting healed and delivered and set free. So the people are crowding. Verse 9.
And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him.
Keep the small boat ready in case I want to use it. Now people start crowding me or pushing me, so we will go in the boat. Small means he cannot take all the disciples. At least one of the disciples, Peter or James or John, they are all fishermen. So one of the person will take him, and when they go to other place, then the mountain is close by and he can go to the mountain or somewhere. And that's what the plan was. And so let's read verse 10.
For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues.
Now see, he says, many people came and they wanted to touch him. They are coming so close and touching him. And he says, many people had plagues. When you say plagues, can be different kinds of disease. Not one kind of disease, many kinds of disease people came, start touching him and start pushing him and start going close to him. And the word of God says, verse 11, even the unclean spirits.
And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straitly charged them that they should not make him known.
Now here we see unclean spirits. Not one, but many. Now many people who got demonic spirit, unclean spirit, they're coming. And they said they're coming running. They're seeing Jesus and falling on the ground. They are not coming to harm him. They are afraid of Jesus. And they are falling on the ground and saying, You are a son of God. Now, can you imagine these Pharisees, highly educated in the Bible, and they're supposed to recognize Jesus Christ is the Son of God or the prophet, but they want to kill him, and these demonic people or the unclean spirit people coming and shouting and saying, You are a son of God, and falling on their faces and is getting healed. If Jesus Christ wanted publicity, he would keep quiet. Let these people say, hey, Son of God is here, Son of God is here. But he says, don't talk, keep quiet. I don't want publicity. These people are already trying to kill me when I'm saying something good. And if they hear that I'm Son of God, and you people are saying, and I allow you to say I'm a Son of God, so he stopped them not to say anything, not to do advertisement. Verse 13.
And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach.
Now we saw he was near the sea, the boat was ready to take him. It's not saying here how he went to the mountain, but somehow he went to the mountain. And when he went to the mountain, I think he took some of the disciples. He says, whatever the disciple he liked, and he said to them, follow me. And he went there. Now in the Mark is just saying he went to the mountain and he wants to ordain the people. But in Luke, it's a little bit clear. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 6, and start reading from verse 12.
And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God.
Now see, here he's saying, he went to the mountain, prayed, and whole night he was there praying. So that means Jesus knew he's going to ordain some people in the ministry. So he, whole night, he prayed. And then, let's read further. Then he comes and tried to ordain people.
And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. And of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles.
See, Luke is saying, he went to the mountain, he prayed whole night, and after that, he chosen 12 disciples out of many and named them apostles. Now the disciples are followers of Christ, but out of the disciples, when you chosen some people for the specific job, they are called apostles. Okay, let's go back to the book of Mark and start reading from verse 14 again.
And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out devils. And Simon he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James. And he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into an house.
Okay. Now, I believe these people also went to the mountain and prayed over them, selected them from other people, and made them apostles. And then they're coming to the home. But if you read in the book of Luke, chapter 10, this was not the same day, but some other time, he selected more people. Luke chapter 10, and start from verse 1.
After these things, the Lord appointed others 70 also, and sent them 2 and 2 before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest.
Here we see there were many disciples. Out of that he took 12, made them apostles, and then he says, I want more people. And why more people? He says, the harvest is ready, the workers are few. So even though there are 70 more people he chosen, he wants more people to come into the ministry so they can do the Lord's work. Now, if this was the true for 2,000 years ago, so now how much is needed today? Today the population is, you know, so much, billions of people around the world, so we need more workers. Now, there are so many Bible colleges and so many Bible universities they have. So everybody teaching about their religion and their groups of people. So the people who do not know anything about the Bible, and when they get saved, they get confused. Which Bible school I should be going? And so it is our duty to tell them the right path. There was one young man, his father killed his mother in front of him, and this boy thought, father is going to kill me. He was 20. He started running for his life, that father will come and kill him. And so when he was running, the American couple, they were driving, and they saw this boy is running in this heat. They stopped the car and said, son, why are you running? He said, I want to go to that village. So they took him to the village, and these people were doing some work there, and then they start going, so this boy is still running. So they stopped the car and say, sir, you said you want to go to that village, but you are still running. So he says, I'm going to tell you the truth. My father killed my mother, and I'm afraid that he's going to kill me, so I'm going to run. He said, where are you going to go? He said, I don't know where I'm going to go. I have no place to live. So they said, okay, we'll take you and put you in the Bible school. See, they took him and put him in the Salvation Army Bible school. Now, he was studying there, but he had so many questions. When you're studying the book, there are so many questions will come. The questions will come about the water baptism, Holy Spirit, this, that. And so he started asking to those people, and those people could not give him the right answer. And so he got so confused, and he talked to the professor. He said, why am I not getting the right answers? I was in that town, and the professor came to our meeting, and he said, I have a young man who is very eager to study the Bible, and nobody has the answer for this man. Could you explain to him? I said, sir, sure. So I came to that town, and I left that town to another town, and then he sent the man to another town where I was. And he came like evening 6 o'clock, and he said, Professor so-and-so, send me here. And so I have questions. So I sat with him, and I start talking to him. I talked to him evening 6 o'clock until morning 5 o'clock. And I was sitting in somebody's porch, because that was not my house. So this man was listening, and 5 o'clock I said, I'm going to pray. So he started crying. I said, why are you crying? He said, nobody spent, even my dad didn't spend an hour with me. You sat here whole night and talking with me about Jesus Christ. So he started crying. I said, sir, if Jesus Christ didn't save me, I would not be sitting here and talking to you. This man gave his heart to the Lord and dedicated his life and became a minister. And I heard that he went to Pakistan and started a ministry. But I lost his address. But the point I'm making, we cannot send anybody to any Bible college. We have to tell these people, if you are born again child of God, then you take advice of the person who is preaching the full gospel or Pentecostal. And those people can advise you properly. We have to teach the people right thing. Now, harvest is plenty. Workers are few. And when you say, pray to God, that God should send some workers in vineyard. And when I heard these words first time, I said, Lord, I am praying that there should be many ministers coming to this harvest and to this vineyard, but take me as a servant. And I want to work in your vineyard. He did not say, please read that verse one more time. It doesn't say that you should be coming to the harvest.
Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest.
Now he said, pray to the Lord of harvest. Now somebody said, he didn't say to me that you should be saying, Lord, take me as a worker. But I got the message. If I keep on praying, Lord, send somebody, don't send me, somebody else, then who will go? So I said, Lord, send me. And then my brother also started praying. He said, I'm also praying the same way. I said, sir, if God calls you first, you go. If God calls me first, I'll go. And when God calls me first, then you take care of the family. If God calls you first, then I'll take care of the family. So we made a deal. But God called me, and that's the time I said to him, you remember what you said? He said, I remember, and I'll take care of family. You go. So the point I'm making, we should be praying, Lord, I want to serve you. Other day I heard one neurosurgeon, be a neurosurgeon. Do you know how many years of study you have to do? How much money you have to spend? And after that, this man was a religious man, so started a prayer meeting in his house. And so because he's a neurosurgeon, he had so many friends, so many people came to his house for the prayer meeting. And then he said, Lord, send a pastor or send somebody to take care of this flock. And God says, you are the one. He said, Lord, I didn't go to Bible college. I became a neurosurgeon. Send somebody who knows the Bible. God says, you can take care of these people. So I think he starts studying the Word of God, got ordained, and now he's the pastor in London. And he has the big church right now. So the point I'm making, when you hear this scripture, pray, Lord, how can I serve you? This morning, I was talking to somebody, and he's a contractor. He says, you know, I'm frustrated. I'm doing so many things, and sometimes it doesn't work, having problems. I said, did you ask God, Lord, what is your will? If this is not the things I'm supposed to do, then give me a call. I'll give up everything, and I follow you and be a pastor someday. He says, that's a good idea. I should start praying, and someday God might call me. So this is what I'm encouraging people. Pray and say, Lord, what I should do for you. Okay, let's go and a little bit further. Mark chapter 3, verse 20.
And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread.
Now here we see he came from the mountain, and he went to an house. But they did not say whose house he went and where he was. But he says when he went to the house, many people came, and they did not have time to eat the bread. That means, I think they went to somebody's house to eat the food. Somebody invited, come to our house for a lunch or dinner. So he didn't have time to eat, and his disciples didn't have time to eat. So they were a little bit frustrated that they are not getting even a chance to eat the food. Okay, verse 21.
And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself.
Now, I don't know what kind of friends are these. And when his friends, now whose friends are these? His friend heard that he's in that house, so they coming to get hold of him, and they saying he's crazy man. He's out of himself means he's a crazy. He's some kind of having mental problem. So we want to get hold of him. Now, why are you getting hold of him? I believe, you remember we heard a little bit earlier that these Pharisees went to the King Herod's people's counseling and they want to destroy him. So now some people are coming and they might be saying, we are his friends. Because Jesus did not say, they are my friends. But they are saying, we are friends. So the friends are coming to get hold of him and telling the people, he's a crazy man. We know him. We know him is a crazy. Maybe they wanted to send him in the psychiatric hospital or what? We don't know. But the word used are friends. But St. John chapter 1, verse 11, it says, he went to his own and his own received him not. So Jewish people didn't want him. His friend doesn't want him. And his brothers doesn't want him.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.